Low-power FM radio is coming soon to many communities around the country. The Federal Communications Commission is beginning to approve license permits. A low-power station with only 100 watts would cover a radius of just a few miles. The FCC had been thinking about more than 1,000 stations eventually, but broadcast organizations, including National Public Radio, pushed for tougher technical standards, saying they were concerned about signal interference. So at the moment, 255 stations have qualified from the first 20 states to be eligible. John Steinberger is among the successful applicants. He runs the Penobscot Language School in Rockland, Maine. They teach several languages there, and he sees the radio station as a way to reach deeper into the community.
We could have instructional programs in various languages. There could also be just shows of music from different countries, or poetry readings or news from foreign press agencies. The whole variety of things that could happen connected with foreign language and with our international interests. But also, I was just thinking of some of the people who came up to me recently with ideas. There's a fellow who's a banker who's also a hi-fi buff and a jazz buff, and he would like to do a jazz show. He's got a huge collection of records and CDs. Woman who's a family therapist. She's interested in the idea of a call-in show talking about family issues with people. I met at the second read a fellow. He was just sitting at the table next to me. I was having a conversation with somebody else, and he interrupted us and wanted to talk about this. He's got Huntington's disease, and he was interested in the idea of a show about issues for people who are handicapped in our city. And then he also is very interested in Scottish music and has an interest in doing a show. And then as we talked, I discovered this fellow I'd never noticed. He got interested in radio when he was at Yale.
It sounds as if you could get quite ambitious there. How would you pay for such an operation?
Well, that's a good question, and we're just in the process of figuring all of this out. We have a garage that we hope to convert to be the studio, and I figured that it would cost about $10,000 to equip it. This is really very, very simple radio.
John Steinberger of Rockland, Maine. Most of the stations are in small communities. In Atlanta, there's an exception. A form of music called Holy Hip Hop would be at the center of a new station there. I'm in this till I'm old as a Nick Rose spirit. Your God wants to break me, shape me like a sculpture to use before his glory in my culture. So hit me for my trials, hit me for my faithfulness, hit me for the Lord Jesus Christ who I represent. No shine, shall shine, ye shine, will shine. All y'all better get right, Christ shine is the Messiah. Danny Wilson is the station's chief executive officer.
The Fellowship of Holy Hip Hop is an organization that's been formed to help young people find out more about Christ through hip-hop.
So this would be an outreach of that?
Exactly. To bring more, more morals back to the community, not just the African-American community, but to the hip-hop culture.
And how do you do that? How does something like Holy Hip-Hop even evolve? How did it happen?
Well, it's all a vision from God. I can't take credit for it.
The station would be playing this kind of music around the clock?
Well, it's not a music-driven station. That's just a portion of it. We got other programs that we're going to run. There's a program that's called Power Minutes, just quick features on positive thoughts. We also have another feature that's called Focus on Women. It's going to deal with personal finance. It's going to be dealing with male and female relationships. It's going to be about successful child rearing. We're also going to have profiles of successful black women, because a lot of young women growing up in the community, regardless of what race, they don't see anybody positive, you know, doing something. You always hear about the entertainers and the athletes, but you don't hear about Miss Johnson, who's a positive grade school teacher, or Miss Jones, who's a positive nurse that's working at the hospital. So those are the kind of things we're gonna have on the radio program as well. It's a community station that's dealing with inspiration and Christian education for young people, but we're gonna do it through hip hop.
And what is your frequency going to be?
It's going to be 106.3.
And at 106.5, what station would be there?
At 106.7, it's traditional country. And at 105.7, it's 70s, 80s, and 90s rock.
You're right there in the middle.
I'm right in the middle. and that's where we need to be. The area where we're going to mostly hit is going to be a little bit of downtown Atlanta, but more of the College Park area, which is predominantly African-American. As a matter of fact, Evander Holyfield lives in that area as well. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of listeners.
Danny Wilson from Atlanta. In Fresno, California, Chuco Tao is starting a low-power station for the Hmong community. He says there are 45,000 Hmong in the Fresno area. He describes the sort of broadcast day he has in mind.
In the mornings, we'll probably have the news and some talk shows to get the adults, because we figure that the younger generation is going to be either working or in school. And then that way we can keep the adults informed as to the latest happenings both here in the United States and back in Laos, because they're always wanting to know what's happening back in the old country. And then evenings, 5 to about 9, we'll probably have more of the younger groups.
And that would be music?
Yeah, that would be music, dedications and things.
What kind of music?
The younger group listens to more like the rock and roll type music. A lot of bands have formed here, and they've adapted the Western type of music.
And the older generation, what kind of music would they want?
Traditional chants, traditional instrument. The Hmong word is gutsia, which is, I guess the best description of it is like your rap music that you have now. But this is so traditional. We've had this in our culture, you know, for 100 plus years. And this is something that happens at the New Year's a lot. In terms of two people speaking, the lyric is more like I said, the rap with the rhymes, and when they get the message across, then the other person responds back. They chant, and they're pretty much singing.
It's kind of storytelling set to music.
Right.
And what would be, Mr. Tao, the first song you would play on the air?
We would have traditional song. That's Hmong. When you hear those sounds, you hear those rhythms, you know that it's Hmong.
Chuco Tao of Fresno, California. Real Zydeco music is on the proposed schedule for a station in Opelousas, Louisiana. Michael Livier is setting that one up.
There was a station in Lafayette that used to have Zydeco every day at lunchtime. They cut that program out. And slowly, any Zydeco program in the area that we can hear is slowly being cut out. A lot of these local artists, they work as well as play music, so they do it because they love it. Those artists, they can come and play it or put it on the radio station.
Michael Livier in Opelousas, Louisiana. Far north in Alaska at Point Hope on the Bering Sea, Andrew Tuyak is helping put together a station based in an elementary school. The community is Inupiat Eskimo, about 1,000 people.
The kids who are in the school would be able to learn how to use the radio to make public announcements if need be, learn more about broadcast journalism, but for the most part would provide for the community a public broadcast platform, I guess, if you want to call it that.
So why do you feel the need for a local community station?
We have several different activities that go on throughout the year in which population is more spread out, and a broadcasting center within the community makes a lot of sense because it would provide information for those persons who are outside.
Well, tell me about those events, please.
In the springtime, we have whaling, and also in the wintertime or fall time, we do caribou hunting, we do fishing for grayling, trout, wolverine, seal hunting in the wintertime, polar bear, walrus, springtime ugruk hunting, or bearded seal hunting in the springtime.
Would there be broadcast in the Inupiat language as well?
Yes, there would be. We have a number of individuals here in the community who know stories that would help promote our oral tradition. And these kids would be able to interview these elders in the community that would help them with their knowledge about stories and history that are related to Point Hope.
Andrew, am I saying Inupiat correctly? Inupiat?
Close enough.
Close enough.
Yes.
Say it for me, please.
Inupiat.
Oh, yes. Yes, I see the difference. I'll work on that. Andrew, thank you very much for talking with us.
Yes, sir.
Andrew Tuyak in Point Hope, Alaska. On San Juan Island in Washington State, Rick Osborne is trying to establish a low-power station for the Whale Museum there, a radio station that would broadcast only the sound of whales, live sounds as picked up by hydrophones.
One of the things we've always wanted to be able to do is to make the sounds under the ocean available to people who live in the area and to boaters.
Oh, to boaters. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, and the idea here is that, see, normally, if there's no boats present, the whales will be swimming by vocalizing, and you can hear their sounds really clearly. When a boat comes in with its motor running, it drowns out the sounds of the whales. Now, if people want to listen to the sounds of the whales when they're out on the water listening to the radio station, because that's how they can hear the sounds of the whales, they're going to have to turn off their engine in order to hear the whales.
So that's the scenario if you have whale-watching boats out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're enticing them to turn off their engines. And
right, and if there's no whale-watching boats out there, then anybody listening to the radio station can hear beautiful whale calls. Well, you said you wanted a kayak up here in the San Juans. You couldn't think of anything better. If you had a little headset with an FM radio in it, and you tuned to the station where the hydrophones are being broadcast, then you could paddle along the shoreline and listen to the whales. And because you're in a kayak, you wouldn't be producing any noise, so that would be wonderful.
Rick Osborne of the Whale Museum on San Juan Island in Washington State. His license application is still pending before the Federal Communications Commission. The stations in Maine, Atlanta, Fresno, and Point Hope, Alaska have been approved, pending a 30-day comment period. Applications from 30 other states will be considered later this year.